to make a million. I fought the law and I won. I fought the law and I won. I'm a new five hero at the Ku Klux Klan. My past friends think it's fun. You can get away with murder if you got a plan.
I fought the law and I won. I fought the law and I won. I fought the law.
Wraps up the ruckus, and what a ruckus it was, what a ruckus was made. And I'm about to play everyone some Lou at Two. That is what was promised, and it even rhymes. It's a little late. We've all been up a while, or maybe we're just getting up for work. Who knows? I don't know your hours. It's still Radiothon. This is still WUBT FM 90.7 Blacksburg. Thank you for tuning in. Gonna be playing you some music. Obviously, I will not talk for 2 hours, but it's gonna be music that influenced Lou Reed, and then some of his music, and a lot of Velvet Underground, and then some music that he influenced. And I'm very excited for this show. I've been planning hours. Only two, but still, hours. It's been fun. I can't wait to listen with you guys. Here you go.
Hi, this is James Brown, soul brother number one. Always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
No. Here come the cops, all dressed in blue. He's after me, he's after you. He's got a gun, he's got a knife. You better run for your life. It's spelled C, it's spelled O, it's spelled P. He's got to go. Here comes a cop, all dressed in green. He's not a cop, a Dairy Queen. He'll turn you on, he'll turn you off. 'Cause he's a cop, 'cause he's the boss. It's spelled F, it's spelled A, it's spelled G. That cop is gay. A city cop, a pretty cop, a tall cop, a girl cop. He's called a cop, a city flop. I'm gonna shop for a cop. Here comes the cop, all dressed in blue. He's after me, he's after you. He's got a gun, he's got a knife. You better run for your life. It's spelled C, it's spelled O, it's spelled P. You got to go. He's after you. He's got a gun. He's got a knife. You better run for your life. Don't sing. Oh, ping. Call cop. Call cop. Call cop. Call cop.
Call cop. gang, I've got some grass.
Hey!
Oh, my God, I ain't got no papers.
Whoa.
We're going to get some papers.
Hey!
Oh, but the store's closed.
Whoa.
But I got a pipe.
Hey!
But we ain't got no matches.
Whoa.
Oh, what a shame. But I've got some grass.
Hey!
But I'm busted.
Oh. Brought to you by the AFL-CIO-POT. Happy Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day. I am your son, I am a runaway. Living on the east side, always getting stoned, always getting high. I am your son, I am a runaway. Call me a bastard, call me a bitch. You are made of plastic, you are filthy rich. La 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 la. I am your son, I am a real away. Never get the reason, never get the death. Get me to the army for my Uncle Sam. La 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 la. Happy Father's Day, Mother. Happy Mother's Day, Mother. Happy Mother's Mother's Father. Happy Father's Day, Mother's Mother's Father. Happy Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day. I am your son, I am a runaway. Living on the east side, always getting stoned, always getting high. I'm glad I'm not home. Happy Mother's Day.
Alright, you just heard some James Brown. And then you heard David Peel and the Lower East Side. They were part of the Beat Movement over in New York who influenced Lou Reed. They did indeed. And thanks to everyone who's listening. That means you're supporting WBT. If you'd like to support a little harder, feel free to give me a call at 540-231-9888. Accepting donations this radiothon. And I'm going to backtrack it a little bit, you know. I'm going to go back to some Elvis just a little bit. And these are written by Chuck Berry, and I couldn't find it in the station, unfortunately. And Chuck Berry also was an influence of Lou Reed, so I'm a little bit bummed. I'm actually not really bummed about it at all because I'm knocking out 2-in-1 here, which means I can play more music for you. So here's some Elvis.
Same thing every day, getting up, going to school. It's a me complaining, I'm objecting.
Oh, I like that. I like hearing him sing it. Yeah. Brown eyed, handsome man.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Flying across the desert.
Flying across the desert in the TWA.
Yeah. Yeah. Sees a woman all across the sand. Half a 30 miles on the route to Bombay. Brown eyed, handsome man, just like your daddy. Here's a brown eyed.
I like that where there's two men out in the bottom of the third or something.
Yeah,
like that. Get a homer right into the
three
stand.
Three men on and two men on and
something.
Shedding tears for the brown eyed handsome man.
Marlo Venus was a beautiful
lad. Yeah, Marlo Venus was a beautiful lad. She had the world in the palm of her hand.
Yeah.
She lost over
performs a hen a wrestling match to get a brown-eyed handsome man.
She fought and won herself a brown-eyed handsome man.
That's a pretty song right there, you know. Got a good team.
Yeah. Oh, heck, they went with Clayton.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't lie, I just forgot. I did find some Chuck Berry in the station. Found one whole album. Wild Berry's album. 540-231-9888.
This little girl off I met last night. She's ready waiting for me under the front porch light. In the dark I can. So dark I can. I hope your car got bright lights. Ooh, and it could be dark out here. We went to a house party. Thank you.
That's Chuck Berry for you. Probably gonna play a little bit more of that in a minute. For now, I got you some jazzy things that inspired the later Lou Reed. Not so much the early, of course. Some Ornette Coleman for you folks. It's 2:15. I'm awake, you're awake. If you feel like chiming in and hearing a song that you feel was an influence to Lou Reed or who he influenced, or just a song that he's involved with in any particular way, give me a call. Educate me. Tell me something new. I love to chat. I'm just chilling here, playing some music for you, and I'm digging it. So thanks for listening.
Thank you. offers had reached its limit. It was now mid-August. Jumenti had been separated from Marcia for more than 2 months. 2 months of quality to show with three dog-eared letters and two very expensive long-distance phone calls. True, when school had ended and she'd returned to Wisconsin, due to Locust, Pennsylvania, she had sworn to maintain a certain fidelity. She would date occasionally, but merely as amusement. She would remain faithful. But lately, Waldo had begun to worry. He had trouble sleeping at nights. And when he did, he had horrible dreams. He lay awake at night, tossing and turning underneath his secretive quilt protector, tears welling in his eyes as he pictured Marcia, her sworn vows overcome by liquor and the smooth soothings of some Neanderthal, finally submitting to the final caresses of sexual living. It was more than human mind could bear. Visions of Marcia's faithlessness haunted him. Daytime fantasies of sexual abandon permeated his thoughts. And the thing was, they wouldn't understand how she really was. He, Waldo, alone understood this. He had intuitively grasped every nook and cranny of her psyche. It made her smile. She needed him. He wasn't there. The idea came to him on the Thursday before the mama's parade was scheduled to appear. He just finished mowing and edging the Adelson's lawn for $1.50, and I checked the mailbox to see if it was at least a word in Marcia. There was nothing but a circular from the Amalgamated Union Company of America inquiring into his own needs. At least they cared enough to write. It was a New York company. You could go anywhere in the mails. Then it struck him. He didn't have enough money to go to Wisconsin in the accepted fashion, true. But why not mail himself? It was absurd. He would ship himself parcel post special delivery. The next day, Waldo went to the supermarket to purchase the necessary equipment. He bought a masking tape for staple gun and a medium-sized cardboard box just right for a person of his build. He judged that with a minimum of jostling, he could ride quite comfortably. A few air holes, some water, a burst of night snacks, and it would probably be as good as going tourist. By Friday afternoon, Waldo was set. He was thoroughly packed, and the post office had agreed to pick him up at 3 o'clock. He'd marked the package fragile, and as he sat curled up inside, resting on a foam rubber cushioning of the thoughtfully innovated, he tried to picture the look of awe and happiness on Marcia's face as she opened the door, saw the package, tipped the deliverer, and then opened it to see old Waldo finally there in person. She would kiss him, and then maybe they could see a movie. If he'd only thought of this before. Suddenly, rough hands gripped his package, and he felt himself worn up. He landed with a thud in the truck, and was off. Marcia Bronson had just finished setting her hair. It had been a very rough weekend. She had to remember not to drink like that. Bill had been nice about the job. After it was over, he said he still respected her, and after all, it was certainly the way of nature. Even though, no, he didn't love her, he did feel an affection for her. And after all, they were grown adults. Oh, and Bill could teach Waldo. But that seemed many years ago. She looked like her very, very best friend, walked in through the porch screen door and into the kitchen. Oh, God, it's absolutely morning outside. I know what you mean. I feel all the heat. Marcia tightened the belt on her cotton robe with the silk under it. Sheila ran her finger over some salt grains on the kitchen table, licked her finger and made a face. I'm supposed to be taking these salt pills, but she won't be doing it. They make me feel like throwing up. Marcia started to pat herself on the chin, an exercise she'd seen on television. God, don't even talk about that. She got up from the table and went to the sink where she picked up a bottle of pink and blue vitamins. Walked one, supposed to be better than steak, then attempted to touch her nose. I don't think I'll ever touch a daiquiri again. She gave up and sat down, this time near the small table that supported the telephone. Maybe Bill will call, she said to Sheila's glass. Sheila nibbled on the food. After last night, I thought maybe you'd be through with him. I know what you mean. My God, he was like an octopus, hands all over the place. She gestured, raising her arms upward in defense. The thing is, after a while, you get tired of fighting with him, you know. After all, I didn't really do anything Friday and Saturday, so I kind of owed it to him. You know what I mean? Starting to smash. Sheila was keeping the hand over her. I tell you, I felt the same way. this point that Mr. Jameson of the Clarence Darrow Post Office rang the doorbell of the large thicker covered frame house. When Marshal Bronson opened the door, he held the current packaging. He had his yellow and his green slips of paper signed and left the 15-cent tip that Marsha had gotten out of her mother's small beige pocket from the den. "What do you think it is?" she asked. Marsha stood with her arms folded behind her back. She stared at the brown cardboard carton and sat in the middle of the room. "I don't know." Inside the package, Waldo quivered with excitement as he listened to the voices. Sheila ran her fingernail over the masking tape that ran by the center of the carton. "Why don't you look at the return address and see who it's from?" Waldo felt his heart beating. He could feel the vibrating footsteps. It would be soon. Marsha walked around the carton and read the ink scratched label. "Oh, God, it's from Waldo." "That's Schumann," said Sheila. Waldo trembled with expectation. "Well, you might as well open it," said Sheila. Both of them tried to lift the staple flap. "Ah, he must have needed it shut." They tugged on the flap again. "My God, you need a power drill to get this thing open." Pulled again. "Can't get a grip." They both stood still, breathing heavily. "Why don't you get a scissor?" said Sheila. Marsha ran to the kitchen, but all she could find was a good sewing scissor. Then she remembered that her father kept a collection of tools in the basement. She ran downstairs, and when she came back up, she had a large sheet metal cover in her hand. "This is the best I could find," she said to her friend. "Here, you do it. I'm gonna die." She sank into a large, fluffy couch and exhaled noisily. Sheila tried to make a slip between the masking tape and the end of the cardboard flap. The blade was too big and there wasn't enough room. "God damn this thing," she said, getting very exasperated. Then smiling, "I got an idea." "What?" said she. "Just watch," said she, touching her finger to her head. Inside the package, Waldo was so transfixed with excitement that he barely breathed. His skin fell prickly from the heat. He could feel his heart beating in his throat. It would be soon. Sheila stood quite upright and walked around to the other side of the package. Then she sank down to her knees, grasped the cover by both handles, took a deep breath, and plunged the long blade through the middle of the package, through the masking tape, through the cardboard, through the cushioning, and right through the center of Waldo Jeffers' head, which split slightly and caused little rhythmic arcs of red to pulsate gently in the morning sun.
That's The Gift by the Velvet Underground. I'm going to continue with some more Velvet Underground. I'm going to play you probably one of the most popular, or at least, I don't know, it's the most catchy to me off this album. Just the regular Velvet Underground. I'm talking quiet in case anyone's listening while asleep. I don't want to startle you. Pierce just joined me in the station. He's compiling an awesome list for he and CJ to play at 4 to 7 for y'all. Music for dreaming and sleeping, it will be. For now, I'm going to keep playing some Velvet Underground. I've got a lot of it here for you. Then I've got a lot of Lou Reed. I'm totally going to go into the 70s and 80s Lou Reed. Get excited. It gets a little weird. Can it get weirder? Yes. Yes, it can.
A monkey read a total. Between thought and expression lies a lifetime. Situations arise because of the weather and no kinds of love. Like a dirty French novel, combines the absurd with the vulgar. And some kinds of love, the possibilities are endless. And for me to miss one would seem to be groundless. What you said, a Margarita her tongue. And of course you're a bore, but in that you're not charmless. Cause a bore is a straight line that finds a wealth in division. And some kinds of love are mistaken for vision. Lordy, ta ta ta. Put jelly on your shoulder. Let us do what you fear most. That from which you recoil, but which still makes your eyes moist. Put jelly on your shoulder, baby. Lie down upon the carpet. Between thought and expression, let us now kiss the culprit. Move it on. I don't know just what it's all about. But put on your red pajamas and find out.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm loving this. I really couldn't be happy right now. I'm having such a good time. I wish everyone was awake with me right now. But, you know, just Pierce is enough. My friend James B. called me from out in Hawaii. Sends his alohas over here to the East Coast. It's only 9 o'clock there on the beautiful island that he is on. Fun fact, it costs $200 to fly with inner islands down there. And he said it's because there's no ferry, and that's because they are trying to save the coral reefs. So there's that. That's nice. And I mean that. He was a little upset about it, but I guess, you know, when it's right in front of your face. Anyways, I'm not going to rant about this. Sorry, it's 2. And I like to rant sometimes when I'm tired. I'm just going to play you more music. Everyone will probably like that.
Grill. He said to the bathroom.
New Age by none other than the Velvet Underground from the Live at Max's Kansas City album in 72. And this next song is a little different. And you can see where I'm going to play some Laurie Anderson later, and you can see where she was influenced by this song. Well, maybe she definitely was, but maybe not through what I'm going to play, but I've definitely heard some stuff. Anyways, the ramble ends. Here you go.
If I could be anything in the world that flew, I would be a bat come swooping after you. And if the last time you were here, they were a bit cuckoo, well, you know what happens after dark. When rattlesnakes lose their skin and their hearts, and all the missionaries lose their bark. Oh, all the trees are calling after you, and all the venom snipers after you. Are all the mountains bolder after you? If I could be any one of the things in the world that bite, instead of a dentured ocelot on a leash, I'd rather be a kite. Be tied to the end of your string, flying in the air at night. Cause you know what they say about honey bears. When you shave off all their baby hair, you have a hairy mind, you pink bear. And all the bells are rolling out for you, and all the stones are erupting out for you, and all the cheap blood suckers are flying after you. Yesterday, Daisy May and Biff were grooving on the street, and just like in a movie, her hands became her feet. Her belly button was her mouth, but then she tasted what she'd speak. But the funny thing is what happened to her nose. It grew until it reached all of her toes. Now when people say her feet smell, they mean her nose. And all the curtains laced with diamonds for you, and all the Roman noblemen for you, and kingdoms, Christian sailors dear for you, and melting ice cap mountaintops for you, and knights in flaming silver robes for you, and bats that with a kiss turn prince for you. Swoop, swoop, rock, rock, roll, roll.
yes,